I want to ask about a project.
Yes.
All right. Okay. I want to find out, especially from Mr. Antonovich, there's supposed to be this regional hub thing at the Bob Hope Airport. It's supposed to be for buses, for cabs, taxis, and for the rental cars, moving it away from the airstrip. So, and Brad Sherman keeps bragging about having gotten the money to do this, but no one seems to be doing this. Also, I am told that that's supposed to be the Valley high-speed rail stop from Los Angeles. That would be the first stop at the Bob Hope Airport. So I want to know, is there any progress on that? And it's all supposed to be coordinated and put together.
Well, thank you very much. We are moving forward with that.
You want to say something, but, Director?
Just, you know, people from the Santa Clarita Valley right now to take the plane at Burbank Airport, they have to come all the way downtown, and then they have to take a shuttle all the way back to Burbank.
Yeah.
And what we're looking at is having a seamless system so that the people from the North County will have that opportunity, but also we're looking at having a seamless system working with Amtrak from the Antelope Valley to San Diego, servicing all of the county and Ventura County as well.
I was just concerned about that thing at the airport.
Just briefly, let me suggest that since you're talking about from L.A. to San, or I'm sorry, Antelope Valley to San Diego, you might want to consider bringing Lausanne in, because they're also working on this kind of a development, and I think better to bring them in than to surprise them.
Comments are duly noted. The item has been moved and seconded, and without objection, such will be the order. We're going to go to item 36.
Can we substitute the previous roll call with Pam on the phone, if that's what Pam wants? She voted on it. We have a roll call like that rather than call the roll.
Pam, are you on?
Well, I was about to leave, but I could vote on this one. But if it passes, you don't need me.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Pam.
So I'm leaving. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Item number 36, civil rights compliance update. And let me just say, in my report, I mentioned that two of the five items have been corrected. But I want to say how seriously we take this issue. I can tell you that in three conversations with Secretary LaHood, they take it seriously. So I would hope that as we proceed on these monthly reports, we're going to have the answers to questions that our colleagues have on the issue. Because I think I speak for everyone when I say this is a very high priority for us. So with that, please present your...
Hey, Antonovich. Thank you. Good morning. Just quickly by way of background, you've all heard this a few times before, the FTA conducted a civil rights compliance review of Metro last year, and they found deficiencies in five of the 12 areas they looked at. They requested that we provide a corrective action plan within 5 days, and that we did that, and it was submitted on December 5th. We've since updated that. At the beginning of, or at the end of February, 1st of March, we submitted a corrective one. We've also done some adjustments in our schedules in terms of when we can get things done. Many of the delays have been caused because the FTA has not given us approval of documents that we've submitted that we need to bring to you. So at this point, we've fully rectified two of the areas of deficiencies. The first one was a notice to beneficiaries. And now we have over 2,000 notices posted on LRT stations, subway stations, and all of our vehicles advising our users how they can file civil rights complaints, and that information is in 10 different languages. The other deficiency that you folks have resolved for us, you approved service standards that address all the areas that are mentioned in the FTA guidance, and you did that at your December board meeting and again in January. of the three remaining deficiencies, the one that will take the longest is limited English proficiency. The FTA found that our four-factor analysis, which looks at what languages we need to provide service in, was not adequate. So we've completed factor one. It's been submitted to the FTA, and at this point they have not provided any comments on us. We're waiting to get going on factors two and three. We've retained a consultant, actually, at this point, and we're ready to go. That will be quite a time-consuming process because it involves going out and meeting with all the different language groups around the county and doing focus groups, doing inventories or interviews with our frontline staff in terms of what languages they encounter. But we're on schedule to complete that by December 2012. The second deficiency relates to fair and service equity, and we're working on resolving those deficiencies on several fronts. Part of the issue there for us is that we really couldn't get going until a number of steps took place, one of those being that we have public outreach on defining a major service change. So we were notified at the beginning of December. It's hard to hold public outreach. We did hold some in January. We came back to the board in February, got that approved, and now we're starting to do the analysis. The other issue for us was that we have two new guideway projects coming up to open this year, and it was our priority to do the analysis properly for Title VI for those so that we could open them on time and not be delayed because of not having the analysis done. So we did those first. Now we're doing the ones for the past service changes. And, of course, all the analysis first has to go to the FTA for them to vet before we bring it to you at the board. This month, you've already approved the Orange Line BRT Title VI analysis that was done, and also the service changes for June. And both of those are items that were not in the corrective action plan. Like I said, we need to do those and do those properly. The scope of work has been submitted to the FTA for approval of the equity analysis for the regional connector, the West Side Subway, and the Crenshaw LAX Transit Corridor. And as soon as the FTA approves that, the consultant will be hired and set to work on those items. And the same scope is going to be used for Foothill and Expo 2. We've come across an issue, though, because those separate authorities have ownership of the data that we need to do the work. It's going to take a little bit longer to do that, and that's why we've pushed that back to January 2013 from 2012. The equity analysis of the 2010 and 2011 service changes, we're planning to bring that to the board in May. We've finished the technical analysis. We've got the spreadsheets and the numbers, and we've submitted that to the FTA to have them look over it. And we are now working on doing the narratives to go with the report. And at this point, the results look good. The equity analysis of the 2010-2011 fare changes hasn't started yet. Just collecting data, and that will be finished or get started in full force when the work on the service equity analysis are complete. Deficiency number three is service monitoring. The FTA found deficiencies with the existing service monitoring program, so they said that the surveys that we were doing, we found some disparate impacts. We didn't take corrective action, so we are going to implement that corrective action in May of this year. We're going to be starting a marketing campaign to address the issues, which meets with the FTA requirements. And then going forward, we're switching to a monitoring program that is more quantitative, and we're going to be looking at each route in the system and comparing the service and performance on the route with its status as a minority route or not a minority route. And that will begin in the next fiscal year. So the FTA is also committed to send someone here to help us with training, both for our own staff and all the staffs of other municipal and regional transit operators in Southern California. We don't have a date for that yet, but they have committed to do that. Just in review, the schedule for the remaining deficiencies, the service and fare equity deficiencies would be rectified by June 30th, the limited English proficiency by December 31st, and then the major guideway projects all of them would be completed by January 2013. This graph kind of gives a visual look quickly in terms of the green being areas that have been completed, the yellow is the work that's going on now, and the red is still the work yet to begin mostly waiting for FTA approval to get started on it. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Before we have questions, I'd like to hear from a few, from public comment for a moment. Barbara Lott Holland with the, and then Sun Young Yang, Esperanza Martinez.
A midday to everyone. Barbara Lott Holland with the Bus Riders Union. In February of this year, the Bus Riders Union met with Peter Rogoff, the head of the Federal Transportation Agency, in addition to the Department of Justice and its Civil Rights Division, with regard to this very board's violation of Title VI Regulation 49 CFR 21. Based on MTA's own records, this agency knew that for the past 5 years, the service cuts that they made were discriminatory, and yet they went ahead disregarding the regulations and the circulars provided in order to eliminate this situation. We have had several discussions with organization and civil rights experts, and they are stunned and appalled at the history that this agency has. If it continues this way, you will become the poster child for the discriminatory transit system. Thank you.
Sun Young Yang.
Good morning, board. It's still morning, right? Sun Young Yang with the Bus Riders Union. There's a couple of concerns that we want to raise in specific to the corrective action plan and the service equity analysis methodology based upon what the staff conducted so far on the exposition line and the June 24th service changes. Just to clarify, the service equity analysis is a planning tool to ensure that an agency in its earnest effort is trying to avoid discriminatory policies before it happens. Yet currently, right now, how the planning staff has conducted is no more than a paper process that gives pretext to discriminatory cuts. And that's primarily because the staff decided to completely eliminate or not include thorough budgetary alternatives when justifying discriminatory cuts. If Metro is pushing discriminatory policy based on balancing the budget, then it must show that they looked at all operation eligible and other budgetary alternatives. Right now, the way that the staff is conducting the equity analysis that you guys are turning in does not include budgetary alternatives.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sun Young. Yes, you can have the director. Director Molina has a question from Sun Young.
Sure.
Yeah, Sun Young Yang is her name. Sun Young, come on up here to the.
It's not on?
Yeah, it's on.
It's on.
It's on.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. With regard to the service monitoring, right now you're saying it needs to include a budget analysis?
The service equity analysis.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I would think that when you say budget, you mean the allocation that is provided in certain areas?
So the way it goes is that right now, let's say, with the exposition line, the 305, the 740 line is getting cut. The equity analysis showed that those cuts will lead to a discriminatory impact. Title VI regulation, 49 CFR 21, says that when there's a finding of discriminatory impact, then the analysis has to continue to then legally prove that, one, the agency has a justification, that it's a business necessity in the public interest, and two, that they looked into other potential less discriminatory alternatives, and the policy that they're adopting is the least of the discriminatory alternatives. So when they're looking at the options, right now the only options that the staff is looking is, well, we need to cut this service. If we don't cut this service, our only other option is to cut some other bus line or raise fares or change fares. But in reality, what they should be also looking at is all the budgetary options that the agency has as part of the alternatives. When we raised this with the chief counsel of FTA, Dorval Carter, he agreed, saying that we assume that if the agency is doing the service equity analysis in its earnest, that it would include the budgetary alternatives.
Mr. Chairman, if I could ask a question, could you just stay there? If I could ask a question with regard to that.
Mm-hmm.
So again, but you understand our budget is based on requirements that only certain funds can be utilized. So you're saying within all bus operations, all of those options should be
not reviewed. Just bus operations, but all other operation eligible funding as well, and how that's allocated.
Operation what?
Eligible funding as well.
All right. Let me ask the question of our consultant. Why are we not doing that?
Actually, I'm staff, and we submitted the analysis to the FTA, and they were approved. They said they were good to go to the board. So there appears to be a conflict between what they advised us and what they may have advised Sung-Yang.
A conflict with who?
The FTA advised us that the analysis we did for the Expo line, and we submitted the Orange line as well, and they had no problems with them, and so they were brought to you for approval.
Require that budget review?
No, they asked that you look at other alternatives, and we looked at two or three alternatives for the disparate impacts that we found. The disparate impacts that we found were only related to the cost, so only people paying cash fares, and generally only people paying one-way cash fares, so it's a very small percentage. We, in fact, did identify that they would have a higher cost.
I guess what I'm trying to understand, in your analysis, did it include this review of the budget? That's what I'm asking.
We looked at two or three other alternatives that would have had budget impacts. We didn't look at the entire budget of the agency.
Why not?
We submitted it to the FTA. They said it was fine the way we did it. We are following their guidance. Their guidance doesn't say that you have to look at the entire budget of the agency.
Let me do this for just a minute. Let me just finish through this thing, and we can continue with the question and answers. But if I could, I just want to
public comment.
Yeah, I've just got two more of these, and you know, want to give them respect.
Public comment, get to comment more than we ever get to talk here.
Oh, no, we'll be able to ask all the questions. I promise you.
You're now for 2.5 hours.
I got you. 1 second. Esperanza Martinez, and then Damian Goodman. Damian, are you still with us? And then
good
Malcolm
afternoon. Esperanza Martinez, lead organizer with the Bus Riders Union. So on deficiency number 3 around service monitoring, I just want to let the board know or remind the board that that deficiency is actually still, the FTA is still determining whether or not you actually violated civil rights regulations. So there's still more information to come down the pipeline. And we urge the board to direct staff to look at systemic solutions to address the disparities that were actually highlighted in the passenger survey. A PR campaign actually does not get at the real reasons why people are experiencing overcrowding. The passenger survey results indicated the real impact of trip thinning measures and service cuts that your staff not only refuses to acknowledge will cause harm, but completely have overlooked and ignored. If staff and the board actually believe that these cuts would not lead to harms, then your survey would not have shown a disparity in the experience of overcrowding by people of color passengers. A marketing campaign is an insult, and we urge the board to actually look to restoring the 1 million hours of service that you took away.
Thank you. Malcolm Klugman and Arnold Sachs, and then we'll go to Director Millian.
I want to ask a question that I think we need to think about, which is the opposite of how we've been looking at this, which is, why aren't more people of color riding the bus? Is there something we're not doing? Are we charging too much money so they have to get a car together with 6 people in it to get to work or something like that? We need to think about that. What can we do to get more people? Because cutting the 305 is a very bad idea. It's a terrible idea. Last year in October, they had a book festival at West Hollywood Library, and I was able to get on a bus, the 305 right there, and go to the Watchtowers Jazz Festival. One bus. Now, that's because Los Angeles is crazy. You shouldn't be able to take one. It should be a grid, but L.A. isn't a grid, so you have to do that. But you need to get people to use the bus to go to work and to go to attractions in minority neighborhoods so we can spend money there.
Thank
and
you.
Make people happy.
Mr. Sachs?
Yes, thank you. Good morning again, Arnold Sachs. First, the legal costs involved in this civil rights action. Can we get an idea on that? Second, mentioned about different languages. Has the county registrar's office ever faced a legal problem with its voting requirements at election time? They put up signage for 7 different languages. How come MTA, again, working with the county, why can't there be a cooperative agreement between the county and the MTA regarding languages? If they have 7 voting languages for the county, why does the MTA have to have 50 languages for the buses? Fare changes? How come the day pass riders ride on the Silver Line don't have to pay the extra dollar, but easy pass riders have to pay the extra dollar? How come that's an inequity that isn't addressed? And as far as this bid thing, I think Supervisor Molina is asking, why isn't this program being followed? He's saying, we submitted Plan B, and Plan B is okay.
It's not the same. Director Molina, did you have, continue
Mr.
your
Chairman,
line of questions?
First of all, let's understand, if you look at this report and this update that they've given you, it's kind of uninformative. In fact, it's very uninformative. I mean, anybody who could read this would say this board is not being informed of what its deficiencies are. And if you look at the report, it's not there. I'm now looking at the larger report, which probably should be summarized for some of us. But I'm also concerned about the time frames that are on there. I mean, for a county that has such huge, I mean, we've known in our school district for 25 years the large number of limited English proficiency and the kind of language that we need to provide in our elementary schools. This is not rocket science in L.A. County. And yet we are far behind in the so very basic of limited English proficiency. And we're not going to get there till December of this year. And when we look at some of the issues that the bus riders folks have brought on, you know, the whole issue of civil rights, while we can sit here and every so often dismiss it and hire people to review what we're supposed to be doing, what is appalling to me right now is that in all of it, this just is like going through a list of things to get done, and we're going to get them done, and eventually they're going to get done, and eventually they're going to go. We don't even know what they are. And when you look at input, like the young woman that presented input about the budget alternatives, why shouldn't we strive to get the best comparative analysis possible? When we not only have been challenged, not only by community people of violation of civil rights, we were under civil rights order for almost 10 years at this organization. And now we have the FTA still looking at us in that regard. I think we need to get to a point, Art, where this is going to be taken much more seriously within the organization. Time frames are not just for meeting the FTA standards, but I think this board is entitled to know why these things can't move forward quicker. I mean, I don't know what the corrective action was on all of it. I don't know that anybody on this board has been informed as to what the corrective action was. And I just find it hard to believe that in the limited English proficiency aspect of its deficiency, that is happening in L.A. County. The other issue about service equity and disparity, I'm not sure I know what the methodology is. I mean, I'm going to read it now, but I don't know that it's ever been presented to us. I don't know that it's any other than this gentleman who's supposedly a higher consultant to do it. It doesn't have any review whatsoever from this board, and I don't know that we, at the end of the day, if we have to wait till December of 2012 and May of 2013, as this report tells us, we might find out, as this gentleman found out, that 2 years ago they did it wrong. And that's not acceptable. So I don't know how. I mean, I could sit here and question him all day long, but I didn't get a chance to read this beforehand. And his civil service update report, if you look at it, is I'm going to finish this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and you might get something by December of 2012. I don't think that is a very, very solid report. And I guess what I'm saying is, if we do not treat these issues as significantly as we do about arguing about how we're going to spend the money, and we don't deal with these things, we're going to be losing out. We're trying to build lines, and we're trying to do this, and yet we don't care about the quality or the service equity of how we're providing services across the board to people who are totally dependent on our entire bus system today. So I am interested in those numbers. I want to know why we're not doing a budget analysis. Is it hard? Or we decided not to? Why not?
We followed the methodology that we submitted to the FTA. We submitted the report to the FTA. We looked at alternatives that involved budget issues, and the FTA told us it was fine, and we brought it to you.
I understand. Well, one thing is, something would be fine. I mean, it's like just going underneath the radar, just keep us at fine. Why not try and meet the needs of a community? Is it more work to do more of a budget analysis?
If I might, Director, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I think there's really a couple sets of issues. One is the issue of the equity analysis and making sure that we're doing things in a fair and appropriate fashion. And I accept all of the admonitions you've just offered. We should do that, and we should do it because it's the right thing to do in addition to being in compliance. Separate from that is the budget process. In the budget message that we will bring to you with next year's budget, we will talk about service levels, and we will have in there a multi-year projection of what our revenue looks like. We'll have comparisons of our service levels, our fares, our average loads with other big cities around the country, so you get some sense of a comparison of how we stand.
I don't think that's what this community is talking about. I don't mean to be disrespectful. Are we as fair as Chicago when it comes to our fare? What they're talking about is service equity. And I don't know that you can compare Chicago to L.A. or anything else. So why not include it in this thing? Why is it that we need to measure? Why not look at our own community? And if there are issues of service disparity, why not look at them comprehensively instead of just barely meeting the FTA standard? Why not?
Well, we certainly are trying to be in compliance with Title VI.
I'm all
and
in
with
favor
the law,
of compliance.
Right?
You weren't in compliance. We should get to compliance. But the issue that I'm saying about is that why is it that we can't go beyond in order to say to our public who supports us with their tax dollars, why can't we say to them, we are above that standard? Why is it that we just have to go to the minimum standard?
That's a good point, because I'll tell you, I have on at least three occasions raised the issue. We keep on, staff proposes and the board approves cuts in service.
Right.
And I've asked again and again and again, what's the cumulative effect of making these cuts? What happens is staff will tell you this line, that line. They'll compare, you know, four lines and say that we've got to cut them because we've got new service here or there, or the ridership there is not at a level. And when you do it, and we've been doing it again and again and again, when you do it separately like that, that's one thing. When you look at them all together, it's quite another. We still, despite my request and motion, which you all supported, for a cumulative analysis of these cuts, we still haven't gotten them. That, to me, would address a lot of, I mean, because ultimately, you know, we're going to, one, comply with, you know, the civil rights requirements. We have to be committed to that. I think we all are in agreement. But it really gets to the issue of are we in the, you know, every quarter or every 6 months decision to cut service, creating a situation here when you look at all of what we've done, where we're really not providing the equity of service that really is the gravamen of what this is all about. So I'd like us to, just in response and to what Ms. Molina has, Director Molina's raised, we need to get that. That's the real analysis I want to see. I mean, this thing, and for you, what I would say, first of all, it's incumbent on all of us to review all of the documents before we. So I'm not going to argue here that we don't have our own responsibility to review these documents. But it would be, I think, more helpful when you make a presentation that the bullets are more explanatory. When you just say deficiency number one, met. Deficiency number two, met. Deficiency number, it does a disservice to the work that you've done, and I know that you have a big, thick report here. It will help us in understanding better just where we are, because I think there's agreement here that we all want to be compliant and even going beyond what we should be with respect to these issues. So yes, if you sir. Could okay. do that, that would be very helpful.
We'll do.
We actually do a monthly written report. That's
oh, I know at my request, committee. But my point is, the director's right. You go through the, just go through it, and I'll show you where.
Well, I understand. I understand the point.
You have these bullets that are just so broad and general. It's like it feels perfunctory and pro forma, and we want to know exactly how we've met it. You know, and what it means, and then go to the second one, exactly how we met it and what it means. And I know it's in the report because, you know, I do know that. But providing it here, at least, a summary of that would be helpful.
Okay.
Yes, Director Molina?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, there's no doubt that I have a duty as well to read that, and I am going to keep an eye on it. But I'm also troubled even when you start reading it on some of the corrections that are going to be made. I mean, so you're going to do this inventory of the languages at MTA. Why not just adopt the same ones that LA Unified has? I mean, why are you regurgitating information that's already there? It's like making more... Huh? Yes. I mean, it's done all over L.A. County. And it just seems as though you could get that December deadline moved up to maybe as soon as April if you just did some really basic utilization of data that's already there.
Well, in fact, Metro already does a lot of work in other languages. The problem was that the FTA has put out very specific guidance that requires transit agencies to go through what they call a four-factor analysis. And every transit agency must do that. We did it a couple of years ago. They found that it wasn't adequate, and so we have to redo it. And it requires us to do
just,
it.
Just so, because I want to get into back and forth. So what you're saying is we couldn't just adopt.
That's right.
The LA Unified, LA County, LA Cities. We have to go through a four-factor analysis, and we did it once. We didn't do it right.
That's
we've
right.
got to go through it, and it's. Is there a way? I mean, because I think the director's hit some. Is there a way to accelerate the review, this four-factor analysis, so that we're not waiting till I think you said December of 2012 or, right. you know, the first quarter of 2013.
Well, there really isn't, because the four-factor analysis, we have to look at specifically which language groups are riding our vehicles, are using our vehicles, what language problems they have in using them. And then the fourth factor is what can we afford to do, what's appropriate for us. So as I say, we already do a lot in a lot of different languages, but we don't have that kind of analysis, and we need to go out and talk to the those groups.
Okay, any other questions?
Well, again... Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Ms. Molina.
I mean, I don't know what he is doing in the language area here, but when you look at the content of this, with all due to respect to the four metro factors, and when you start looking at the inventory and so on, translate Metro civil rights complaint in multiple languages. Train current and new staff. Include LEP training and staff orientation. Formulation of specific policies for transit court and public comment at board meetings. These are not hard tasks. Determination if a particular non-vital document needs to be translated and in what languages. You know,
okay. Do you have a response to that?
Inventory list, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. It's a make work. It seems as though somebody should get to work on it right now. There's a whole division and department that should be doing this besides the customer service, okay? What? And I just think they're so basic.
Okay.
Factor one, the inventory has been completed and sent to the FTA for their approval. A lot of the things that you mentioned that you were quoting are actually we're doing already because we can anticipate that at the end of the day, those are things that we're going to have to do. Transit Court is doing things in other languages. We've already translated our Title VI complaint procedures are already done. Every new signage project, I'm pushing to have pictograms used so we don't have to translate into multiple languages. So we're doing things. We're not waiting until December.
But her point is not an obtuse one. If you said that in your presentation, we would know that. And I know you have identified that in your longer report, but for something like this, ask you beginning next month that you specifically identify these areas for us. Any other questions? Hearing none, this is a receive and file matter, and it will be received and filed with the comments that have been raised so that the next report is more appropriate, more comprehensive. Item 37. You want to go through this?
Second.
John Walsh and Arnold Sachs.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. Last 55 hours, 21,000 visitors. You know, I get along with, you know, Mike Antonovich taught driver's ed at LAUSD. You have to have nerves of steel. They got rid of driver's ed after you left. I'd like to point out you made one mistake here. You referred to someone called the Inspector General. There is no Inspector General here. You have an acting Inspector General who has a full-time position and works spare time at no money. And the reason is because Antonio got the other one out when he was investigating Antonio, and we haven't had one for 3 years, and the garbage at the L.A. Times won't do a story, especially Shelby Grad, garbage, HollywoodHighlands.org. Everyone in the building has read this already. They know who the cheater is. Two adulterers, not one, two.
Sex.
Yes, indeed. The Gold Line Construction Authority. Thanks for moving up on that, October. You know, it's really kind of ironic. In September of last year, they noticed in a report to the MTA board that they couldn't take action because they were waiting for the results of the state's action on the redevelopment agencies, the courts to decide on the whether the redevelopment agencies would survive or be dissolved as per the governor's request. So the Gold Line Construction Authority couldn't take action with Keywood Construction. But the Gold Line Construction Authority wasn't legislated until October. So they were worried about breaking the law while they weren't legal. Makes sense to me. Metro dysfunction. Go Metro.
Thank you. What we're doing is giving direction to staff to investigate the cost of living allocation policies and practices of the independent construction authorities and compare them to the MTA policies and practices provided in a report for a future meeting within 60 days. So move.
was it?
Chair broke.
Bart Reed.
I think so. He's up.
The building is falling apart. Garbage up there.
I directed Roy, without objection, so ordered. Okay, 59. Somebody fell. Oh, we have a motion to say any objection? So ordered. Okay, item number 27, Director Wilson. Run. 27. Your performance motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, at the Finance Budget Committee, I introduced a motion that would require our agency to take a look at the key performance indicators for our system. And so I would like to have a second to my motion.
Second.
Second. Okay, we have three speakers. Mr. Herman, Mr. Walsh, and Mr. Sachs. And Mr. Sachs, you want to come down, Mr. Sachs?
Let's count the words. $1 billion in deferred rail maintenance, according to Art Leahy. And no one's talking about that until some white person is killed on the rail.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs. Item number 27, letter A, number 2, renewed focus on customer service. So I looked at item 49 on your agenda. It states, letter B, the reallocation of articulated and standard-sized buses on line 40, 710, and 740 to better meet passenger demand with capacity utilization will have a disparate impact on line 40 riders. Well, that's focusing on customer service. And then letter C, create a single-page document that lists all core budget themes. Example, Los Angeles Unified School District performance meter. Los Angeles Unified School District. You know, I think they've been in the headlines for some performance that's notwithstanding on a sexual matter, they're going to be a quality control for MTA? Oh, my God. That's some choice.
Mr. Herman, motion by Mr. Wilson, seconded without objection, so ordered. Okay, item number 55B.
Chairman and members, item 55B is a legislation proposed by the Goldline Foothill Construction Authority relating to their authority to construct the project ultimately out into San Bernardino. There were two issues the committee directed us to address in the legislation. The first has to do with the bill would require us to operate the line into San Bernardino County, but there's been no funding provided for the operation of the line. And there's a serious question about whether or not LA County taxpayer funds could even be used in San Bernardino County. So we would seek amendments to address that issue. Additionally, there have been no funds identified to construct the line into San Bernardino County, and that language should be included in the bill to address the need to reach agreement on those issues as well. So that would be the recommendation on 55B would be to work with the author to address those two issues in the legislation.
Okay, Mr. Herman, Mr. Walsh, Mr. Sachs,